It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
And here we are. It is Sunday night. Once again, time for episode 165 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by my friend Brian. Brian, how are you this week, sir?
No, Ron, it's not about how I'm doing.
No?
It's about how you're doing.
I mean, I can't complain too much. It is.
I knew you weren't ready. I knew you weren't ready because you were taking a sip. That's why I threw it back at you. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I am. I'm looking forward to another podcast. I'm looking forward to a After Dark. It's our pajama party edition tonight. We'll have a special match game hosted by Brian during After Dark, which is, as we have often said, exclusive for our Patreon subscribers. If you are not a Patreon subscriber, head on over to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner. Give us your money, and we'll give you entertainment and some free stuff, too. A lot of great product on the site. Wouldn't you agree, Brian?
I would say, you know, we've in terms of content, every week we do an extra 30, 45, 60 minutes, depending on what's going on. And we save a lot of the stories, and I think a lot of people who are listening either live right now or streaming it after the fact on YouTube, listening to it wherever they get their podcast. I think a lot of people don't realize what's going on over on the After Dark behind the paywall over on Patreon. Is this is where we talk about things that would get us banned on YouTube.
It would get us kicked off of Facebook.
We are this close to being able to monetize. When you click on the Ron and Brian podcast on YouTube right now, you don't get any ads. That's not because we want you to be able to watch our videos 15 seconds faster. It's because YouTube does not think we warrant monetizing. We're this close to getting to where we're on their radar. We don't want to do anything that will jeopardize it, which is why the saucy stories, the scintillating, the sexy, that's behind the paywall. That's where, if you want to watch it, if you want to get turned on listening to my voice, if you want to rub your nipples and just go crazy, we do all that kind of stuff where it's acceptable on After Dark.
All right. Well, let's get things started here on the main podcast. It's time for Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Drink of the week. Sláinte.
Who's drink of the week? Drink of the week.
Brian, as always, I'm kicking it off with what you have brought to the table to drink tonight.
What do I have here today, Ron? You're looking at, from our friends over at Virginia Beer Company, we are looking at something called Bellissimo. And Bellissimo is a special type of Pilsner first introduced by Agostino Arioli, the founder of Perivisio Italiano near Lake Como, Italy. Unlike traditional German or Czech-style Pilsners, Italian-style Pilsners are unique in that they are dry-hopped with German noble hop varieties that feature spicy herbal and floral aromas. Then they're dry-hopped, which is normally typically reserved for IPAs, which imparts a hop aroma rather than bitterness.
All right.
Coming in at a solid 6% ABV, recently awarded the silver medal in the Pilsner category of this year's Australian International Beer Awards, Bellissimo from Virginia Beer Company, about to go down my gullet.
A nice refreshing beer for Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
Ryan, how is it?
Oh, it's delicious. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted a crisp Pilsner.
Excellent. Good job.
Ron. Nice.
Yes.
What are you drinking?
So this week I went back to our good friends from Dogfish Head Brewery. Again this week, the very appropriately named Sunday Feels. This is what they call a Beermosa Sour. It's an ale brewed with grape juice, peaches, blood oranges, lemon, regular oranges, and lime. This clocks in at a respectable 6.5%. So let's take a little sip here.
It seems perfectly hazy.
Mm. It is. It's a sour. It's a true sour. Tartness.
Oh, I love
a lot
sour.
Of tartness there and refreshing.
I love a good sour.
It is. It's very reminiscent of a regular beer mosa, which is a great little brunch drink.
Which you introduced me to.
I did. So we'll have to have some beer mosas the next time you're down.
I would love that.
All right. In the meantime, let's move it along. We've got This Week in Racing.
This
week
in
racism.
All right, Brian. Lots of racism again this week. Two pages worth. I'm trying to conserve paper by printing it on both sides. This is at a 10 font for those of you wondering. So it is a lot. I will attempt to keep it at the solid 10 minutes that we usually try to. Let's get right into this. A city councilman in Fort Valley, Georgia, has been charged with assault and making terroristic threats after allegedly threatening to shoot a woman and calling her the N-word. According to a July 2nd police report, the councilman, Jimmy Barnes, allegedly threatened to shoot a woman, calling her the N-word multiple times at a highway convenience store. He was arrested July 12th and released July 15th on $50,000 bond with an ankle monitor. Three Florida men were caught on camera going off on an anti-Asian rant at a business owner who was attempting to close his business for the night. The men, who showed up and started unstacking chairs to sit and eat slices of pizza, began spewing profanity at a female employee of Ramen Lab Eatery after she asked them to leave so the restaurant could close. After being approached by owner Lewis Grayson, who is of Asian descent, one of the men said, quote, "Take your fucking China flu and shove it up your ass. Asshole, you fucking Taiwanese trink motherfucker." The man speaking has been identified as Benigno Francingilia, who works for Meetings International. The other two men have yet to be identified. Delray Beach Police declined to investigate or press charges. A North Carolina woman said her first car buying experience was tainted because of an offensive Facebook post made by the dealership. Trinity Bethune purchased her first car at Lumberton Honda and was later shocked to look on Facebook and see a post on the dealership's page that read, "Congratulations to Bon Quisha on her 2016 Toyota Camry." The owner of the dealership said that the employee who made the offensive post has been fired, and they reached out to Bethune to apologize. Bethune told local media that she is considering some sort of legal action. 21-year-old Lakey Janae Bailey, who is Black, was traveling on Frontier Airlines from Denver to Fort Worth with her 4-year-old adoptive sister, Olivia, who is white. Everything was going fine until the plane landed at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, and they were stopped by police officers at the gate. The officers responded to a request from Frontier Airlines for law enforcement to meet them at the gate after a passenger on the plane was concerned about a possible human trafficking incident involving a female born in 2001 who was traveling with a female born in 2017. Certainly not anything to do with a Black woman traveling with a white child. Bailey and her family are considering filing a lawsuit against the airline. On Monday, a Missouri legislative committee held an invite-only hearing on critical race theory and how the state's educators should teach racism in K-12 schools. The committee is now under heavy criticism for excluding Black people completely from the hearing. In fact, not only were Black people excluded, but outside of a single official from Missouri's education department, everyone who was heard from during the hearing was an opponent of critical race theory. A Black woman has filed a lawsuit against the Delaware Division of State Police after she was blockaded and held at gunpoint by plainclothes officers last month until they realized she was not the suspect they were looking for. Martiane Watson was leaving a BP gas station in a light gray Nissan Altima when she was stopped by officers looking for a Black male and female suspect in a dark gray Nissan Maxima. Despite both front windows being down, an officer broke the driver's side rear window of her car before dragging her out of the vehicle. When Watson asked what was happening, an officer pressed a taser to her neck and said, "I'm going to fuck you up," according to the suit. Then an officer eventually said, "I think we have the wrong person." The officers returned to their vehicles and drove away without offering Watson an apology. Brian Cheney, a black man from Michigan, is suing a suburban police department on allegations that one of its officers wrongfully detained and racially profiled him while he was out on an early morning walk. It stems from a July 14th interaction with Kego Harbor officer Richard Lindquist, who is white. The suit is asking for $10 million in damages. Cheney was out walking for exercise when he said Lindquist drove up behind him in a police vehicle and shouted, "Get your hands out of your pockets." According to the lawsuit, Lindquist then told Cheney, "I'm going to frisk you because you look like you have a weapon and we're going to break into cars." It also claims Lindquist injured Cheney's groin after shoving him against his squad car and also hurt his wrists with handcuffs. Formula One star Lewis Hamilton was targeted with racist abuse online after a win at the British Grand Prix. Facebook said that they removed multiple racist comments targeting Hamilton from its platform. The racist abuse comes only a week after three British soccer players were subjected to similar vitriol after missing penalty kicks during the Euro 2020 final against Italy. Dr. Ian Smith has filed an unlawful discrimination complaint against Viacom CBS and Dr. Phil's Stage 29 Productions in relation to being fired as the sole host of the CBS show The Doctors. Smith, who first joined the Health Advice talk show in 2019 as co-host before becoming the single host in September of 2020, claims he voiced concerns about racial discrimination issues and was subsequently terminated. A black internet serviceman was not prepared for what he encountered when he answered a request to fix a woman's internet service at her home in Atlanta. On the lawn were a couple of minstrel statues, which are known to caricaturize black people and are considered racially offensive. He made a TikTok video of his discovery, and the clip went viral with over 3 million views. In New York City, a black defendant was granted a new trial Wednesday because the judge who presided over his 2016 trial expressed his discomfort with, quote, "this black thing" being brought up by a defense attorney. Supreme Court Judge William Garnett got frustrated with John Popp, a Legal Aid Society public defender assigned to Wesley Brissett's trial for criminal possession of stolen property. When Popp questioned why the prosecuting attorney kept moving to remove black potential jurors, Judge Garnett stated, "There was no reason for starting this black thing because only half of the available black jurors had been dismissed at that point." Brissett was convicted at the trial, but a state appellate division panel has ordered a new hearing in the case with a different judge to hear it. A racetrack announcer came under fire after a racist rant he made at an Iowa Speedway. Lon Olke was working as a fill-in announcer at Kossuth County Speedway when he told the crowd he wanted to make a social service announcement before the national anthem. He condemned those who won't stand for our flag or who take a knee during the anthem. Quote, "I've got four words for you. Find a different country if you won't do it," he said. "Get the hell out of Dodge." He then added that he was outraged that the NFL is considering playing the black national anthem before games this season. Quote, "For those folks, I guess the darker toned skin color, I'll just say blacks." Kossuth County Speedway. Yes, you taking a time out there?
Question, what is the black national anthem?
That I do not know.
So I've never heard of it. And I know that you are super woke. I am an ally, so between the two of us, I'm assuming we should know what the black national anthem is.
We'll put a pin in that and come back to that.
Okay.
So anyway, Kossuth County Speedway issued a statement that they would not be working with Olke in the future. Olke is the full-time announcer at the Fairmount Raceway in Fairmount, Minnesota, and their promoter, John McCorkle, wrote that Olke would absolutely be announcing races and that he agreed with all of his comments and opinions. A white man in Chicago has been charged with a hate crime and battery after he was alleged to have physically and verbally attacked a black 19-year-old who has autism in the bathroom of a grocery store. 44-year-old Philip Jort also allegedly hurled them at an off-duty Chicago police officer who is also black. Jort allegedly tried to prevent the 19-year-old from leaving the bathroom and punched him in the stomach while continuing to yell racial slurs. Jort, who said he was drunk at the time of the incident, reportedly told officers he doesn't have a problem with all black people, just black people who behave a certain way. His bail was set at $150,000, and his next court appearance is Monday morning. A white city leader in Alabama was captured on video using a racial slur towards black people towards a during a council meeting. City council member Tommy Bryant is caught in this video clip right here.
Do we have a house nigger in here?
Yeah, you.
Do we? Hey, yeah, do we? Would she please stand up?
Wow.
So he told news outlets his use of the N-word on Monday night reflected something the city's black mayor had said during an earlier private meeting. He says he won't apologize and may run for mayor himself. You would think he would be the worst person of the week, but that is saved for this final story where we return to Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Once again, we were there a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
A different individual in Mount Laurel. This is a 46-year-old woman who has been charged with a biased intimidation, assault, harassment, and disorderly conduct after she hurled profanity and racial slurs at a front desk clerk at a Super 8 motel.
Look, you nigger, give me a call, black man. Give me a call. I'll give you $300, black man. Black nigger. Give me a call, black man. No one fucking wants to look at you. Come on, black man. Come on, black man. Come on, nigger. Wow. Look. You know what your name is? Nigger. Nigger. Look.
Nigger. Police.
Fucking New Jersey. Billy. Defend your trash state. That is New Jersey. Everything I've ever said about that state is so true. That is the trash. First off, I believe that that there should be a law passed that if somebody is acting in that manner, and there's a legal term for that. I'm not sure, you know, I was not able to pass the bar, so I'm not legally allowed to claim to be a lawyer or give legal advice. But there should be a law passed that if somebody is acting in a manner like that, you should be able to stab them between the fourth and fifth rib.
All right, well,
you should be able to. You should get one just right in the fucking... You should be able to do that. The fact that people in this country feel they can treat somebody like that with impunity and get away with it, clearly she probably is not going to remember it the following morning. I believe she was slightly intoxicated.
Mm-hmm. Well, so police said they were initially called to the hotel for a report of a disorderly woman in the lobby. They found Elizabeta Prisiak intoxicated in the hotel parking lot. And after finding she was staying at another hotel nearby, turned her over to a family member. However, after police were provided with the video shot by the hotel employee, a warrant was issued for her arrest. My friend is the week in racism.
Now, Mount Laurel, if I recall, it was pointed out on a previous episode that Mount Laurel is actually closer to Philadelphia.
Well, and Billy just mentioned that Mount Laurel is in the Philadelphia area. New Jersey doesn't actually claim it. It is right across the bridge from Philadelphia.
But, hear me out. If we were to look at a map of New Jersey, the town of Mount Laurel would be contained within that map.
That is correct. Yes, you are correct, sir.
Billy, as long as people in Mount Laurel are driving with New Jersey license plates, that is your town.
All right. Mm.
And Billy will be able to defend his town on tonight's After Dark Pajama Party because he is a Patreon member, a subscriber, a friend of the podcast, friend of the show. He will be joining us tonight after, 9:30 East Coast time. He will be on the show with Ron, with myself, with the other Patreons, with our friends who, and if it's not too late, you still have time, people. It is right now, 8:19 New York time. You've got an hour and 10 minutes. Sign up for Patreon. Become a member. Support the show.
All right. In the meantime, it's time for Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
The New York Yankees.
Oh, are they now? That is a can we pause for 1 second? Because you and I, we don't discuss beef of the week prior to this episode, correct?
No, not at all.
My beef of the week is the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
So please continue.
I love the New York Yankees.
Yep.
I am growing up, I was a fan of sports. I would watch basketball games, I'd watch football games. Hockey, not so much, but baseball was always my sport. As I got older, I matured a little bit. The New York Yankees became my team. I don't follow teams anymore. A lot of people will say to me during the fall, hey, who's your football team? And I'll say, I don't have one. I just check the final score and try and figure out if I won or lost my bet. I have no loyalties when it comes to sports, except one team. One, and that is the New York Yankees, who are based out of the South Bronx in New York City. Pinstripes, the classic NY on a baseball cap. They cause an emotion in me that does not get created easily. This year, they have broken my spirit on so many different occasions.
Very good way to put it.
And today was, I don't want to say it was the last straw, because I'm not throwing out anything. I'm not giving up on my team. But today, I walked in my apartment, and I saw that we had a no-hitter against the Boston Red Sox, our eternal enemy. We had a no-hitter in the seventh inning. And I sat down and I started to watch it. Not only did we lose the no-hitter, we lost the game.
We did.
We are now 3-10, not 3 out of 10. We have played Boston 13 times this year. We have won 3. I'm getting killed emotionally and financially. I have a $10 bet with my friend up in Boston, and she is absolutely loving this season. But the New York Yankees is the thing that has absolutely caused me grief this week.
Ron, and let's not forget, they started this series with the Red Sox on Thursday night with a lead going into the bottom of the ninth, gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth, to end up tied, go into extra innings, scored a run in the top of the 10th, and then thanks to 4 wild pitches in the bottom of the 10th inning, the Red Sox scored 2 to win. Yes. So I feel that is a appropriate bookends to the series and to the season. Again, you can't give up on your team, but they are for the payroll, for the talent, they are shitting the bed.
Yes, painful, so painful. And I don't want to give up. I don't want to say this is not going to happen. This is but it's so hard to watch. I feel like this must be what Met fans have felt for the past 50 years.
Good point. And it's almost enough to ruin Hot Podcaster Summer, but not quite.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
Have you been able to isolate the moan at the end for me? Because
Let me make a note to myself.
I want that to be my ringtone.
Moan.
Not that I ever have my phone on. It's always on vibrate. And I also rarely answer phone calls. But I want that to be the noise I hear when you call me. And you maybe once a year?
About that, roughly.
Yeah, and I get annoyed when you call me that one time.
Actually, I think my wife FaceTimes you more than I call you.
Yes, absolutely. Because
she's an instant gratification type person. Like, if she wants an answer about something from you, like, I'm fine texting you or emailing you.
Yeah.
She wants your answer right away.
She wants to see. She wants to see the reaction.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And if I get a FaceTime from her on a Tuesday at 2 p.m., I'm not answering it. But if I get a FaceTime from your wife at 10 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday, I am absolutely answering it regardless of what I'm doing, because that's going to be a fun call.
Yes.
Going to be a fun call. We know that.
So you know what can potentially ruin our hot podcaster summer is the Delta variant and COVID-19. As we are starting to see cases spike heavily in certain areas for states that are lagging behind in vaccinations. And as we have often stated, and many people say it's been a humble brag, you know, we've talked about how Moderna is the gold standard of vaccines. And people think that just because you and I received Moderna, that is why we have said that. But each and every week we have had stories about the lesser vaccines and how they just aren't getting the job done. Again, this past week, there was a study posted online that said the one-shot coronavirus vaccine from Johnson & Johnson is much less effective against the Delta variant than it was against the original version of COVID-19.
That is a trash vaccine. It should be criminal. Like, people are talking about how Fauci needs to get locked up. Whomever approved that shot from the FDA to be able to be considered a COVID vaccine for the Johnson, that they should be tarred and feathered in the public square.
Right. And earlier this month, you know, J&J, they published some preliminary data stating that it was effective against the Delta variant at least 8 months after the shot. But in May, the British government had released a study about the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is very similar in structure to the J&J vaccine, saying it was just 33% effective against the Delta variant with one shot, while two doses were 60% effective. So long story short, if you have the choice of vaccines, well, number one, if you can get vaccinated, don't be a moron.
Yes, absolutely.
But if you have a choice of vaccines to get the Moderna vaccine.
Of course. I mean, do you see any reason why an American should not roll into their local pharmacy or doctor's office and say, please give me the Moderna vaccine? I mean, I know that when I fall asleep tonight in my air-conditioned bedroom underneath a comforter, I will sleep easily knowing that I have Moderna mRNA.
Yep, you nailed it.
Flowing through my body, attaching itself to every cell within this being, so that I know that I can sleep easily because I am protected.
And the
only if you had Pfizer right now, can you sleep easily?
Possibly.
If you had AstraZeneca, are you not sitting on the floor in your closet, hiding from the demons? If you had Johnson & Johnson, are you not sitting there drinking Subway water?
But I would think the only reason you have not to get vaccinated is if medically you are unable to take the vaccine. And sure, that's why it is the responsibility of everyone that can get vaccinated to help those that can't, to help the children. We saw it again this week. A 5-year-old Georgia boy with no underlying health conditions died of COVID-19. Wyatt Gibson from the city of Calhoun, Georgia, lost his life after a short battle with the illness at a hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Now, this is what confuses me, and maybe it's because this Delta variant is something that has flummoxed the medical community. But how is it that a 5-year-old who we already understand, I mean, proven that children do not have the receptors. Dr. Yeah. Drew specifically did a show last summer talking about how children under the age of 18 don't have the receptors for the coronavirus. There was no reason why they should have been held out of school. There's no reason why they should be at risk or being asked to wear masks and whatnot. How is it that this 5-year-old boy, who I don't know if you have a photo of him.
I do not.
Just an angel. Google his name. What is his name? Wyatt Earp?
Wyatt Gibson.
Close enough. Wyatt Gibson. Look him up. Google him right now. The boy was an angel. This country mourns for his death. He should have been able to have gotten the Moderna vaccine injected inside of him.
You would think. I mean, you would really think. And more people are coming out that were initially against the vaccine and mm-hmm. are saying, you know, get the vaccine. I mean, this week we saw Mitch McConnell telling people to get vaccinated. On Fox News, we see Hannity and Tucker Carlson. And to me, the most shocking of them all, the governor of the state of Alabama, Kay Ivey, came out this week and told people to get vaccinated, saying to her state, it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down. And that is a state that has seen nearly 10,000 new cases of the coronavirus over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's
almost 100% of new hospitalizations are unvaccinated people.
They're calling this the third or the fourth wave of COVID. I've lost track, whatnot. But this pandemic that's continuing to go on right now, it is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. If the people who are right now, the majority of them with COVID right now in hospitals, sick, symptomatic, I feel zero pity for them. And if this is the path that they chose, I'm okay with them passing away. I know that's a hard take. I know you're not going to feel comfortable with that being said on your podcast, Ron, but it's also 50% mine. And I will speak my mind.
Listen,
when I see these anti-vaxxers dying, I don't want to say I celebrate it because it's tragic, but do I mourn? No.
In Alabama, this is a state that has seen a 70% increase in daily cases in the past 7 days. It has its highest hospitalization rate since April, and more than 96% of the more than 500 coronavirus deaths in the state since April involve unvaccinated people. And mm-hmm. The latest reports, you know, regarding the Delta variant say that we are probably not even spiked yet. We are looking for a spike come mid-October. So it'll be back to a situation of where in these states where vaccination percentages are low, you know, ERs will be strained, first responders will be strained, resources will be strained, ventilators, oxygen, the whole nine yards.
And keep in mind, I normally avoid ERs. You know, you don't want to end any word with an ER. It's problematic. It makes things uncomfortable. People don't know how to react when you end some, you know, when you say a word and with a hard ER at the end of it.
That's not quite what we're referring to here. But thank you.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? Actual emergency rooms was the ER we were referring to.
Oh, I thought we were still in This Week in Racism. I'm sorry. bad boy.
Eric Clapton.
Yes.
Making a stand this week. After the Prime Minister of the UK, Boris Johnson, said that vaccine passes would be required at clubs and venues, Eric Clapton said he would not perform at any venues that require attendees to prove that they've been vaccinated against COVID-19.
Yes.
Two thoughts on this. I'm not even aware that Eric Clapton still plays and goes and does concerts. And second, I think, wouldn't he still be more involved in making sure that janitorial staffs close windows in the 53rd story apartments that musicians live in? Wouldn't that be more of a focus in his life still to this point than vaccinations?
Ron, are you about to say that his favorite emo band is Fall Out Boy?
Listen, we're not going to make jokes about his son who fell out of a window in a 43rd floor apartment.
Was he home at the time or he was not home?
I don't believe he was home at the time, no.
How the fuck do you pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, I think you should get home. Your son fell out of a 30-story window and literally is looks like the inside of a grapefruit. Like no offense, like they still have soft bones, a little like, you know, the kids at that age. They're very soft and whatnot. I mean, that kid literally just became like a big ziti when he hit the ground, no?
I would imagine. Now, I remember, because you have people that come clean your place, which I
sure.
get. Busy man. Yes. And I remember you said one time one of them knocked over and broke a Yankees bobblehead of yours. And they didn't have...
Do you want to see the broken bobblehead right now?
You can grab it real quick if you'd like. But I do remember, like, even just that, just a broken bobblehead, they did not leave you a note. They did not say, hey, our apologies, we broke this. So, yeah, I mean, if you've got a cleaning staff in your 53rd story apartment that leaves a window open and your son climbs out the window and falls to his death, I don't know how they make that phone call either. You still have the broken bobblehead.
I haven't, Derek Jeter, this bat should be right there.
Should be in his hands because, you know, he was the captain. He was a hit machine. Yeah. So, I mean, again, we talk about it. If people don't want to, you know, if Clapton doesn't want to play at venues, that's fine. But he will definitely, I think, end up on the wrong side of history, being on this this anti-vaccine joint.
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
In, you know, if we can do a point counterpoint, he Please. Says that he had a very bad experience with the vaccine. He got vaccinated.
Right.
So he is not one of these MAGA idiots who just, you know, doesn't trust the vaccine or whatever. He actually had a bad experience. He said that he lost functionality of parts of his body. Talking about his swing. So he's not coming from a completely ignorant perspective. He's just projecting his experience onto others. Now, question, do we know what vaccine he received?
I mean, he's in the UK, so my assumption would be that he received the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Well, of course he had a bad experience.
But again, I mean, that's because you had a bad experience doesn't mean you should be telling
people. Yep, you're absolutely correct. According to Rolling Stone, he received AstraZeneca. Of course he had a bad fucking experience. God damn it. See, and when I say God damn it, I'm talking about Eric Clapton, because a lot of people in the 70s said Eric Clapton is God.
That's right. Speaking of vaccinations, NFL is pretty much,
yes,
not necessarily mandating vaccinations, but they have, you know, stated to teams that, you know, there is no flexibility in the schedule like there was last season to postpone games. So if a team is unable to play a game because they failed the COVID protocols and it was because of an unvaccinated player on the team, they will have to forfeit the game.
That's huge.
You've got some players that are now, you know, really, you know, contemplating sitting out the season, potentially retiring, potentially suing the league. You had a coach for the Vikings, Rick Dennison. He is out as a Minnesota Viking assistant coach after refusing the COVID-19 vaccine. I think who else do I want to play? DeAndre Hopkins, I believe, is another one. Leonard Fournette,
Scott Kingsley, I believe the tight end of the Baltimore Ravens said he will not get vaccinated.
They asked Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott the other day. He declined to divulge his vaccination status. He is also another one of these morons that says it's a HIPAA violation for a reporter to ask, which is not the case.
No, but here's another one. I'm not trying to change the subject. Fox News. Fox News has announced, or Fox as a whole, has announced that they are requiring vaccinations by their employees to show up to work, and that they have their own phone app for their employees to show upon showing up to work to security, which means that these idiots who are on Fox News, who are ranting and raving about how this vaccine is dangerous and people should avoid it, all these people are vaccinated.
Right. They know that if they want to work, you know, they need to be vaccinated. They need to show proof that they're vaccinated,
yes,
and that they don't.
The absolute hypocrisy of it. And don't get me wrong, MSNBC is no better. It's just on the other side of the spectrum. But the fucking hypocrisy of Fox News.
Yes. Friday was the start of the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. You're modulating a little bit. So what has been your thought on the Olympics during these opening days so far?
Well, first off, I could give a fuck. I just think I think that it is wildly, wildly inappropriate that in a year where most of this world is still going through the effects of this pandemic, you have got countries, developing countries, with a 1% vaccination rate. You have a host country that is currently in lockdown due to a skyrocketing COVID caseload that we are going to bring athletes from all across the world to compete athletically.
Damn right.
It's just so inappropriate. It is such an example of how the advertising dollar has got a stranglehold on what is something that should be so pure, which is international competition in a non-warlike manner. However, right off the bat, USA, and let's be honest, you know, I love my country. I'm very patriotic. It's far from perfect. We have a lot of ways to improve. We have a lot of different avenues to open up so that we can be more inclusive. We can be more accepting. We can be more embracing. But right off the bat, USA, our women's soccer team, which has been indestructible, and they have they lost their first game against Sweden by a score of 4-0, which I believe that took place on Thursday. Shocking sports pundits throughout the world. We had not lost a game since 2008 when they went down to China in the early qualifying rounds. Then earlier today, USA men's basketball team, let's call it what it is. It's the 2021 Dream Team, packed with NBA stars who are playing in the Olympics for some reason. Coming down, and you know how I feel about the French, Ron.
You hate the French. I don't have the sound effect queued up.
God damn it! Should have it lined up every week. We lose our
French.
You did have it, you bastard. You son of a bitch. I love you. But it's just the fact that our men's team goes down in their first game, embarrassing this country. Clearly a sign that woke politics has affected our Olympic team. Donald Trump was correct. We need to keep woke politics out of our sports.
And also having a rough start to the Olympics, South Korea's MBC network, who had some stereotypical comments and photos during the opening ceremony of the Olympics when Haiti's athletes walked into the stadium. A caption posted on the screen read, "The political situation is fogged by the assassination of the president." When Syrian athletes entered, there was a caption that said, "Rich underground resources and a civil war that has been going on for 10 years." Described the Marshall Islands as once a nuclear test site for the U.S. When Ukraine's athletes entered the parade, they showed an image of the Chernobyl disaster. When Italy walked on, the broadcaster pulled up an image of a pizza. For Norway, a salmon fillet was shown. An image of Dracula was used for Team Romania. And for Team El Salvador, a country where Bitcoin is a legal tender, a picture representing the cryptocurrency was shown.
Question. That's problematic?
Apparently so.
It seems slightly not professional, but I do like the creativity of it.
Do you?
To show Dracula for Romania, I kind of get a kick out of it.
All right. That's fair.
And not only that, but you know, as the competition started, dreams were realized. hopes were dashed, but not in the same way that our the Polish swimming team.
Mm.
Am I correct that on was, that one?
I'm going to say that. Would you call this a gaffe? Would you call this a kerfuffle? What would you call this exactly?
I would say there's a Polish joke in there somewhere, but I am not making it.
So apparently Poland sent too many swimmers to the Olympics and ended up having to send home six swimmers after the mistake was noted. As you can imagine, the swimmers that were sent home were very upset, some asking for so that they're going to look into legal repercussions, asking for resignations. And then the women.
Question. I have a question. Yeah. How did the Polish swimming board, I don't know what you want to call them, how did they pick and choose which swimmers stayed and which ones left?
I mean,
that's a real Sophie's choice, if you ask me.
I would imagine there's probably, much like there's rankings to decide who makes the Olympic team in general, they probably went back to those rankings and wherever that 16th athlete was, they sent the ones below that home.
So you are not alleging that sexual favors were transferred by the members of the Polish swimming team so that they could participate in the Olympics. You are not alleging that.
I'm not alleging that at all.
What you're saying is that there was absolutely no Polish casting couch, the black leather couch that we are all familiar with. There was no Polish version of it for the swimming team.
As far as I know. Also, at the Olympics, the Norwegian women's beach handball team was fined on Monday after wearing shorts at the European Championships in protest of rules requiring women players to wear bikini bottoms. They were issued fines of 150 euros per player for a total of 1,500 euros, saying that their shorts were improper clothing.
That's actually fucking outrageous, if you ask me. Like, I get it that each team has uniforms, whatever, but to sit there and say that if you're playing beach volleyball that you have to wear a bikini bottom.
This is handball. Not even beach volleyball. This is handball.
Handball?
This is handball. So apparently the Federation's rules state that while men are required to wear shorts, women can only wear bikini bottoms with a close fit and cut on an upward angle towards the top of the leg. The bottoms must have a side width of no more than 10 centimeters. According to the regulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the men can wear shorts, but they're absolutely telling women that they need to wear less.
Correct.
Wow. That's fucked.
This is why this is the problem with sport. Or is that woke politics, like you were saying, Brian?
I think it's the opposite of woke politics. That's that's Donald Draper style regulations right there.
Nice reference right there. Good call.
Thank you.
Brian?
I aim to. Yeah.
What are you watching?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I've had a very tiring week. I've been going to bed early. I went back to, as many of you are aware, I am still recuperating from my meniscus surgery. I still have a very weakened left leg, limping, hobbling, whatnot. So I find myself this week, I went back to work in the office. Why? Because after staying home for a week, I had to get back. Work needed to get done. I had places to be, people to see. I've been going to bed quite early this week. What have I been watching? I watched a couple of Yankee games that broke my heart.
Right.
Already spoken about. But I'm also into season two of Succession on HBO Max, really enjoying it. It is a modern day Dallas soap opera ish for the adults who like more modern storylines. But still enjoying it. So my answer to you is season two of Succession. Ron,
yeah,
what are you watching?
So I caught finally A Quiet Place Part Two. Sequel.
Oh, how is it?
It was, I'm going to say, it was as good, if not better, than the first one.
Oh, I didn't care for the first one.
Really? Well, then maybe you won't like part two.
Part one, I just felt like, okay, we got it in the beginning. I get it. that there are these creatures that are killing people if they make noise. And then I had to watch the movie for another hour and 45 minutes. Like, it just didn't go anywhere.
Well,
like, there was there was nowhere for it to go once the premise had been selected. Tell me if you can, no spoilers.
Right.
What is the plot of the second one? Now, John Krasinski is dead.
Correct.
So,
the first one.
But his wife, Emma Stone.
Emily Blunt.
Not even close, Brian. Excellent. his wife, I assume, but she is the main character in this one.
It picks up pretty much after that, after his death, with his wife and kids, and they decide to leave their farm to see if they can find other humans that are still alive out there. And they do, and then they also find that there is a safe place where these aliens can't get to. You actually see a flashback to day one when the aliens arrive on Earth and start attacking people. So it fleshes out the story a little bit more. I thought it was very well done. It was very tense, a good story. But again, I liked the first one. I think if you like the first one, you will really enjoy part two.
Now, at any point, do they bump into Rick Grimes?
They do not. This is not a zombie movie, but I
There's
understand.
There's no crossover. There's no, no crossover here.
I also attempted to watch the new Kevin Hart movie, Fatherhood, on Netflix. Did not enjoy it.
No.
Not going to lie.
Well, you said you attempted. So how far did you get before you turned it off?
I'm going to say probably a half hour.
Okay. What is your, where do you draw the line for what you're going to turn off and what you will keep watching? Like, where do you say, I give up?
If there's like a little part of me that wants to see how this story is going to wrap up, then I'll stick with it. If it gets to the point where I'm just like, where I just automatically know how this is going to end, which is, again, this is a very formulaic movie. You know, Kevin Hart is married, wife has their first baby, you know, she dies, and then he's got to raise the kid by himself. So from that point on, it's the, oh, I don't know how to change diapers. How do I keep my kid from crying at night? Blah, blah, blah. So again, nothing remarkable there.
So you have a problem when you're watching forms of entertainment that you would describe as, I believe your own word, formulaic. That's a problem for you, right?
Well, it
can't. Yet, you will watch every piece of shit that Marvel Universe, and I believe at this point we have to call it the multiverse. Yet you know everything about the Marvel multiverse and will watch every episode of every TV show they put out there.
Yes.
Despite their inability to actually move a story forward on a episode-by-episode basis.
I think you and I just have to agree to disagree on this one.
But somehow, if Kevin Hart does a formulaic movie, you're like tapping out after 30 minutes, like, I'm done.
I also watched the last few episodes of Dr. Death on the Peacock app with Joshua Jackson, Alec Baldwin, Christian Slater. Talked about it last week. Really enjoyed it. Again, eight episodes. Wraps up pretty quickly. A very satisfying ending for the most part. I would still recommend that.
Did you watch No Sudden Move on HBO?
I have not gotten to that yet, but it's on my list.
Okay.
I did watch, begrudgingly, because my wife was watching it tonight, the show Sexy Beasts on Netflix, which is the dating show where people
wear
prosthetics so that you can't see their face. And it is pretty much the train wreck that you would think it is.
Yeah,
it is. But if you're into like trash television, you will very much enjoy this.
Now, do you believe that your wife watches trash television as a way to divert her brain from the stress of being married to you?
It's very possible. I'm open to any suggestion there.
I was thinking about that earlier today.
Brian, it's been a while since we've had to talk about this, but we have had yet another gender reveal story. But this is going back a ways. We talked about this last year. The El Dorado fire that was started back in September of 2020 due to a gender reveal pyrotechnic show. It started that fire that killed a fireman. And now the couple, Refugio Manuel Jimenez Jr. and Angela Renee Jimenez, are now facing involuntary manslaughter charges and 29 other counts. They have pleaded not guilty to all those. The wildfire was allegedly started, again, by a pyrotechnic device that ignited dry grass at the foot of the San Bernardino Mountains. They attempted to put out the blaze with bottled water, but it was quickly stoked by strong winds and dry conditions.
I am all in favor of this, not because they're Hispanic, but because gender reveal parties in an age where it is we as a society have moved past the assignment of gender without people's inclusion, totally unnecessary. This is a self-serving, self-centered, egocentric, look at me, celebrate me, look what I'm doing. The fact that it's gone beyond just the, hey, by the way, we're having a boy or a girl, but now you're talking, you know, things are blowing up, people are dying, it's so out of control.
Well, and let's look at this. I mean, this fire, it took more than 2 months to contain. It killed Charles Morton, age 39, who was the leader of a firefighting squad, injured 13 others, destroyed 5 homes and 15 other buildings, and affected eventually 36 square miles.
If these people shouldn't even be charged with a crime. They should just be publicly executed.
In addition to the manslaughter count, they face 3 felony counts of recklessly causing a fire with great bodily injury, 4 felony counts of recklessly causing a fire to inhabited structures, and 22 misdemeanor counts of recklessly causing fire to property, facing more than 20 years behind bars if convicted of all counts.
I would love to see them convicted of everything. I really would.
And again, it's still going on. Earlier this month, an explosive device at a baby welcoming party sparked a wildfire in Canada.
Fucking hell, people. Stop. Nobody cares about your baby. Have the fucking baby. We'll throw a little party. I'll show up with some kind of nonsense garbage that I bought on ToysRUs.com. Something plastic disposable that you'll throw out in a week or two. And then we can all have some cake. We'll drink some of your shitty alcohol, and then we'll go home and wish that we had spent the weekend doing something else.
And before we get out of here tonight, let's look at some of our celebrity obituaries passing away today. Bob Moses, a pioneer of the civil rights movement, who faced relentless intimidation and brutal violence to register black voters in Mississippi in the 1960s. Who also later started a national organization devoted to teaching math as a means to a more equal society, passed away at his home today in Hollywood, Florida, at the age of 86. Mm-hmm. We also lost Jets assistant coach Greg Knapp. Sad story, passing away at the age of 58 after being hit by a car while riding his bicycle. That was last Saturday. The accident actually happened. He had been in intensive care. They were hoping that his condition would improve, but he did pass away on Thursday. No word yet as to if the driver of the car will be facing any charges. The biggest name we lost this week, though, iconic Borscht Belt comedian Jackie Mason, passing away at the age of 93.
Borscht, corned beef, gefilte fish.
That was a fairly good impersonation from you.
I don't remember thinking he was ever funny. I just remember him being like a celebrity, a personality. He was the kind of guy that would do the Joe. Oh, what was that guy's name that did the shit? The old
Joe Franklin.
Joe Franklin.
This is Joe Franklin, my friends. Matzahs by Schwartz.
Yeah, God damn. Y'all? I grew up watching that show.
Yes.
But Jackie Mason was always just some guy you knew. I never found him particularly funny, but I'm glad that the world that he contributed to the world.
My issue with Jackie Mason has and always will be Caddyshack.
That he was Jewish? What?
Caddyshack too.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody had to take that role.
No, I think Caddyshack was one of those movies that was just fantastic and did not need a sequel. I think if people had put their foot down and no one with a name, you know, but you get Jackie Mason and people are like, oh, he's very similar to a Rodney Dangerfield. Mm. Now, I will give you bonus points if you can tell me what Jackie Mason's actual name is.
It's going to sound very anti-Semitic, so I'm not going to say it.
All right. Well, his name at birth was Yaakov Moshe Maza. And he was
never would have thought he was Jewish.
And he was also an ordained rabbi.
Really?
Yep. He was.
I remember he had gigantic lips. Like he had the lips that girls on Instagram are paying top dollar for.
My Jackie Mason story is years ago, I was working for a hotel company and we had an annual conference and they bussed us up to New York City to do a scavenger hunt in the city. And so one of like the bonus point things you could do was to, you know, get your photo taken with a celebrity. And So we are walking through Broadway and who do we run into but Jackie Mason?
Met Jackie Mason?
Yeah, Jackie Mason. And so he was fine with us taking a photo with him and very nice man. But we were trumped because someone else, another group, had run into Robert De Niro.
And they got a photo with De Niro?
And they got a photo with De Niro.
Well, was the points that only went to the most famous or just getting a celebrity?
The points were ranked on who was more famous. Oh, so yeah, De Niro, rightfully so. Worth more points than Jackie Mason.
Yeah, De Niro absolutely will take Jackie Mason down. Yes. And now, literally, De Niro is breathing, walking, paying a lot of alimony. Jackie Mason's dead.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else this week, Brian? Or are we
I don't believe so. Let me just do one last review of the articles. Are we still following the building collapse in Surfside, Florida? The most recent story that I saw had 97 confirmed dead. One just a tragic story. One woman is missing. She lived in the building. I believe it was on the 16th floor. Her family, poor family, have not had any closure. I can only imagine the pain that they are feeling as, you know, it started off, 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
When all of the nation's eyes were on Southern Florida, watching this tragic story of an apartment building collapse. At first, you know, estimates were as high as 159 people had perished in it. As time went on, the number lowered and lowered. There were rumors that people were gambling on the number of dead that was going to be the final total. I mean, clearly, you know, it brought out the best in humanity in terms of the fire department and rescue teams that immediately flew down to Southern Florida. It brought out the worst, as I just mentioned, people gambling. But at the end of the day, it looks like we are going to come in at a tragic number of 97 or 98. My heart goes out to all those family members. This is a tragic story. There is absolutely nothing to celebrate here. There is nothing for anybody to throw their arms in the air with a smile on their face. Just heartbreaking. This is a heartbreaking story from top to bottom.
I mean,
when I say top, I mean the roof of the building. And when I mean bottom, I am talking about
the
garage that was water soaked with debris above.
Yeah.
Yes, Ron?
Like you said, they have officially concluded the search at the site. They have moved all of the debris to another location where they will continue to sift through the rubble, see what additional they can find. So yes, 97 confirmed dead right now, one still missing. I have heard reports from sources that I can't name at the moment, that the numbers have skewed too low. We could see another 37 added to that count, but we will have to wait and see what happens as they go through that decree. And it's touching it. Your voice cracks a little bit thinking about it.
It's such a tragic story. I lived in South Florida. I know the town Surfside. I've been in that neighborhood. It's a tragic loss of 98 lives.
Well, and on that note, we are going to wrap up. We are going to get ready for the after
pajama party. People, you got 25 minutes.
25 minutes. It's our annual pajama party, our monthly pajama
annual party, monthly,
where we let our Patreon subscribers come on and join us. Even more exciting tonight, we will be playing Match Game tonight on the show. Brian will be our host. He will be playing our Gene Rayburn. He will be asking me the questions, and then our Patreon subscribers will be trying to guess what I will say. And we have decided that there'll probably be a little bit of a prize that we give away to whoever can match the most with me.
Yeah!
All right, Brian, anything else this week before we wrap up and get ready for the pajamas?
Nope, not at all. I need to get ready myself. I need to prepare.
All right, sounds good.
Because I have not prepared for this match game whatsoever. So the way I see it is I have 24 minutes to get ready.
Nice. All right, well, join us and see how much of a shit show we can make after dark and this match game. In the meantime, for those of you joining us on the free podcast, we enjoy you being with us. Join us again next Sunday night, right here, same place. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.